Welcome to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a Word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. Now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
Welcome to Call to Freedom. I'm so glad you joined me today. You are such a blessing to me. I love hearing from you, your notes, your mail that you send back to me with your donations, the calls that you leave me, the messages on the phone. There are so many ways you can go to Barbara@freedomstreet.org to let me know how you're feeling. If you have any prayer requests, heart cries, I will be praying with you. I want you to know that when you email me or get in contact with me, I am praying for you. I truly am, because I know that you have if you have a heavy heart, you can't be working fully and completely for God. I know that because I've been there. So I want you to know I'm praying for you. Oh, you are so blessed to dispense. You are truly blessed to dispense. And I hope that you have a giving heart, that you're able to give to somebody, even though you may not be experiencing the greatest joy in your life right now or happiness in your life. You're willing to help your neighbor or your friend or your loved one. Oh, it's so good to do that. There is joy within each person who knows how priceless they are to God. And I hope you know today that you are priceless to God. I want you to also know that you can listen to freedomstreet.org by going, you can listen to the radio shows by going to freedomstreet.org. And you can also listen to wonderful teachings from Darren's past, from Darren's coffee shop, and go and enjoy Kimberly's blogs. So I'm not much of an announcer. I like to stay with the Word of God. So I want you to just go to freedomstreet.org and just snoop around for a while. It's really good. You can also donate there by hitting that little donate button. Trump was asked this week, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about the economy right now because a lot of people are complaining. And I'm so glad this was online just this last weekend. He was asked this last week if people's economic woes were motivating him to reach a deal with Tehran. And here's what he said. "I don't think about Americans' financial situation," he responded. "The only thing that matters when I'm talking about Iran, they can't have a nuclear weapon." Now, that is not a put down for us. No, it's not. He has us on his mind. It's like God has us on his mind all the time. God has other things to do. He's creating new universes all the time, but he's got us on his mind also. It's like if you got a sore toe and you got to go to work and you got to do your job, that sore toe does not take priority. Now, maybe when you get back home, you soak it in Epsom salts and that kind of thing. But when you're at work, that toe takes secondary a priority or attention. That's exactly what he's saying here. I just won't have a nuclear weapon any way, shape, or form. And folks, I agree with him wholeheartedly. Democrats say that only 30% of U.S. adults approved of Trump's handling of the economy as of a May poll, an issue that had long been his political strength. And he campaigned on economy. So what's going on? And that's why I'm so glad I found this article about Northern Colorado. And it's kind of in my territory. 24 recent interviews along Colorado's Highway 52, a two-lane blacktop road punctuated by grain elevators, feedlots, and oil pump jacks. And Trump voters echoed the president's logic, and I do too. I'm 100% behind him. Across Morgan and Weld counties, which haven't voted for a Democrat in a presidential election since 1964, voters were willing to pay more for gas if it meant eliminating a possible Iranian nuclear threat. What would you rather have, high gas prices or be nuked? I'll take the higher gas prices. I'm going to go fill up my car today, and I don't mind. I mean, it stretches the budget. It really does. And my belt's tightened, and I don't eat as well as I would have if the gas was a little bit lower, but it's not going to bother me. Energy prices had spiked under President Joe Biden also. I want you to remember that. Some begrudgingly stood by Trump because of their distaste for Democrats. Others expressed faith the president had a plan to bring costs down. It was a testament to the durable personal bond Trump has built with his base, allowing him to weather multiple crises across his two terms. It feels like he hears us, said one Morgan County supporter, that he's fighting for us. And that's why they're willing to sacrifice. They are truly willing to sacrifice, as a lot of people across the U.S. who voted for President Trump, they are willing to sacrifice. And oh, what is sacrifice really? You don't get that steak that you usually eat. You have to go to hamburger. I mean, come on. It's ridiculous what we feel like we are suffering for. Oh, I'm suffering for God. No, about 25 miles southwest of Wiggins, in northern Colorado, Jim Miller was elbows deep in the engine of his ailing Dodge pickup. A 65-year-old retired commodities broker raised in the liberal city of Boulder, who now lives in a tiny Prospect Valley, considers himself half hippie, half cowboy. He said enduring the momentary pain of high gas prices is worth preventing Iran from pursuing a nuclear weapon. That's right. Miller recalled stories of American resilience during World War II when goods were rationed and households lived with less. I struggle like everybody else does, but I'm willing to sacrifice a little, Miller said. It's been totally lost in this country, people's willingness to sacrifice. In the unincorporated town of Rogan was Mike Urban Whiz, a 66-year-old trader with multiple college degrees whose farming cooperative moves 150 truckloads of grain each day, folks. He voted three times for Trump, but like many interviewed by Reuters, he considers himself a political independent, saying he distrusts the Republican Party nearly as much as their Democratic foes. And I'll have to admit here, sometimes I do too. I get so many political calls and political ads from Republicans. I want to say, stop it. Just stop it a minute. Why don't you pray to God for the breakthroughs? That's what I want to say to them. But you can't really say anything to them and return a phone call or anything without giving some money, contributing money to the cause. So I can agree with him. Gas prices were hurting his industry, he said, and Trump was naive to think he could quickly solve the issue. He expected prices would remain high into the fall, even if there was a breakthrough in installed U.S.-Iran peace talks. He doesn't understand that Iran has dug in, and they are working for a foe that is willing to give it all for his cause, and that's Satan himself. But he preferred the status quo. This man from the northern Colorado, he preferred the status quo to Democrats, whom he saw as moving towards full-blown socialism. I agree so much with this man. And he's got multiple college degrees, and yet he chooses to live in a place where the people are rational. They are a little bit common sense that we miss so much in our politics today. Plain old common sense. And I really agree with him. Our memory verse for this week, well, thank you. God bless you. God bless all of you that did this. Memory verse for this week is Psalm 18, verse 30. As for God, his way is blameless. Oh, it's perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a shield to all who take refuge in him. And the Message translation says, what a God! His road stretches straight and smooth. Every God direction is road tested. Everyone who runs toward him makes it. They make it. So if you're running the race with God, you're making it. Yesterday, I was in 1 Corinthians 6, where Paul is telling the reader that sex outside of marriage is a sin. and brings defilement into the very body of those involved. Yes, your body is involved, and your substance from that other person is in that body. Darren had brought about a prayer for those people who felt dirty because he had dealt with so many issues on numerous occasions. For instance, I told you yesterday that this one person that he had prayed over had taken 10 to 11 showers a day. She felt so dirty, having so many relationships with so many different partners. Where does she start to cleanse herself? Well, God gave him this prayer, and it's wonderful. It's getting back and giving back. The process of getting back and giving back. And I hope I don't stumble over myself here. Number one, the person who was sexually involved has pieces of the partners of past relationships. Pieces. A prayer of repentance is necessary. Willpower will not solve this. You've got to pray to God. He's the only one that can break this bondage that you are in, or even the cycle that you're in. If you think that you've got to go have sex with somebody outside your marriage, or someone, illicit sex is not going to solve your problem. Number three, the repentant one gives his stuff back. He gives it back to the person he had sex with, and he takes back what was taken from him when he had sex. The repentant one sends back the substance received during the adulterous sexual encounter, and it must be cleaned up through a confession of repentance. And yesterday I gave this prayer that Darren had in the 7 Steps manual that he gave out quite a few years ago. And I just want to pray it again for you. If you missed the program yesterday, you can go to freedomstreet.org, or if you want to just listen today again and again. Father God, in Jesus' name, I ask for your forgiveness for being involved in this sinful affair. And I ask you, wash away all thoughts and memories and physical involvement that I encountered in this relationship. I get back the spiritual substance that was taken in this relationship, and I send back the substance that I received from the person involved in the impure encounter. In Jesus' name, I say, I am free. And when you pray that kind of a prayer, you know that your God is faithful and true to his word. And when he says, I will forgive you, he forgives you. In fact, he forgives you. He does not remember it, but you may. But he does not. And it's like the flashbacks that Darren used to talk about when he was teaching. You don't get those flashbacks anymore. And especially when you cleanse yourself, you from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. You can do that with your hand. Just put your hand at the top of your head to the soles of your feet. I am cleansed in the mighty name of Jesus, and through his shed blood, I am clean. Now, in Jesus' name, it goes on to say, I am free. I am no longer defiled by improper involvement with another person who is outside of my marriage. I am clean and pure. And after that cleaning process, being clean again, you may identify with this scripture that is part of this week's memory verse. And this is in the Message translation. I really enjoy the Message. Psalm 18, 20 through 30. God made my life complete when I placed all the pieces before him. Those are pieces that you used to take from one person and you used to give to that person. These are pieces. When I placed all the pieces before him, when I got my act together, he gave me a fresh start. Oh, this is so good. And again, it's Psalm 18, 20 through 30 in the Message. When I got my act together, he gave me a fresh start. Now I'm alert to God's ways. I don't take God for granted. Every day I review the ways he works. I try not to miss a trick. Not a trick. And it's a godly thing. It's something that the world doesn't look at. They're full of tricks, bags of tricks. But God has this wonderful, humorous way of saying, I've got more than the enemy has. Try me. I have some great ideas for you and some creative ideas for you. And here it goes on in Psalm 18. I feel put back together. And this is from the Message. And I'm watching my step. Oh, I hope you're watching your step now. God rewrote the text of my life when I opened the book of my heart to his eyes. When you open up your heart and say, oh God, I have truly missed the mark. I have sinned before you. Please forgive me. When you confess that sin, he is faithful and just to forgive you of that sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Verse 25 and 27 from Psalm 18 in the Message says, the good people taste your goodness. The whole people taste your health. The true people taste your truth. The bad ones can't figure you out. I want to say the whole people taste your health. When you are in sex over and over and over again, that really not only defiles your body, it does a number on your health. It really does. And your health begins to wear down, and your organs begin to wear down, and the female parts or the male parts of your body begin to wear down. Remember that from 25 and 27 of Psalm 18 in the Message. The good people taste your goodness. The whole people taste your health. The true people taste your truth. The bad ones can't figure you out. You take the side of the down and out, but the stuck up you take down a notch. God hates pride. So he's going to humble those who are full of pride. Suddenly, God, you floodlight my life. You light up my life. I'm blazing with glory, God's glory. I smash the bands of marauders. I vault the highest fences. What a God! His road stretches straight and smooth. Every God direction is road tested. Everyone who runs towards him makes it. Praise God. So there has to be a repentance when sin has been committed. That's what happens. Repent. And the repentant one sends back the substance received during the adulterous sexual encounter, and it must be cleaned up before a confession of repentance. And if you'd like this prayer of repentance, I can email you at Barbara Carmack or Barbara@freedomstreet.org. Email me there and request the prayer of getting back and sending back committing sin, and especially sexual sin. And I will email you that to you. If you don't have a computer and you want it, just call me at 1-877-917-7256, and I'll send you this prayer to you. And you can say it or say it for a loved one who you know is in a really bad way. I want to tell you right up front today that you bend to someone. Everyone does. Who is it that you're gravitating to? When you hear a report, your mind immediately goes to either the right or to the left. Or as one person with multiple degrees and now moves 150 truckloads of grain a day, interviewed from Rogan, tells us, and this is the one I just read about at the beginning of the program, I voted 3 times for Trump, but I consider myself a political independent because I distrust the Republican Party just as much as the Democrat foes. Our minds go back and forth. Well, who do I trust? Who do I trust more, the Democrats or the Republicans? The Republicans or the Democrats? Gas prices were hurting my trucking industry, and Trump was naive to think he could quickly solve the issue. He expected prices would remain high into the fall, even if there was a breakthrough in stalled U.S.-Iran peace talks. But I prefer the status quo to Democrats. Okay, so he's making up his mind now while he's being interviewed. I do prefer the status quo of the Republicans rather than the Democrats, because I see the Democrats moving into full-blown socialism. So I ask you today, who do you serve? You serve something or someone. You are loyal to some kind of ideology, whether you admit it or not. Being in God's will is my supreme desire, and it's been that way since John and I traveled across the U.S. singing for Jesus. There's 1,000 decisions you make every day. Every day you make thousands upon thousands of decisions. Some simple, like just brushing your teeth, or, you know, gargling, or having that cup of coffee. Shall I brew my coffee in my kitchen, or shall I go to Panera and get a cup of coffee, which is simpler, a little more expensive, but simpler. Those kinds of decisions are everyday occurrences. When you accepted Jesus as your Savior and Lord, you made a commitment. Many people are committing to Jesus every day. There's a revival going on, folks. There really is. I hope your head isn't in the sand. And it's God's will. We want to see in our lives God's will, and especially in those young people and the people that are receiving Jesus as the first time in their lives. We want to be there for them. We want to tell them how much God loves them. Wanting God's will involves your character, your faith, and your daily life. Proverbs 4:23 tells us, oh, and this is such a beautiful verse, watch over your heart, that's your spirit, watch over your heart with all diligence. You guard it. You're serious about this commitment, for from it flow the springs of life. God cares about your heart, and he doesn't want you falling into temptation or fleshly activities. And many of you have Proverbs 3:5-6 as your favorite scripture. I get this on your donations all the time. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Don't be afraid of God's discipline. In fact, when I get disciplined and I feel, you know, beads of sweat going down my back, the next thing I say is, oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you that you are a forgiving God, that I'm still hearing from you, that I still get anxious and upset when I do something wrong. Proverbs 12:1-2 tells us, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge. A good person will obtain favor from the Lord. We must give our hearts to God and be teachable. From the Passion is Proverbs 12:1-4. To learn the truth, you must long to be teachable, or you can despise correction and remain ignorant. And a lot of things in the Proverbs say, you are a fool. That's right. I'm not saying that. Proverbs says you are a fool if you despise correction. If your heart is right, favor flows from the Lord, but a devious heart invites his condemnation. A person who has ungodly desires, he is condemned. He is absolutely condemned. And this is what I was talking about in 1 Corinthians 6, that when you give your body that was meant for the dwelling place of God to another in a sinful sexual way, you are doing such a great injustice to God and Jesus and Holy Spirit who are living in you. They're living in you. Well, I'll just brush them aside and I'll have a little sex here on the side. No, that's not going to work. It's not going to work with our Lord and Jesus Christ, who gave his life for you, and Holy Spirit, who is whispering to you all kinds of wonderful things all day long. There must be repentance to live a blessed and successful life. And so I'm telling you here, you can't expect success by doing what's wrong. But the lives of God's followers are deeply rooted and firmly planted. Do you know why the followers of God want to do his will? Why do you want to do God's will? We read in 1 Corinthians 6, and this is what I've been in for the last couple days. I've been in 1 Corinthians 6 because it's such a great expression of what we need to be doing as godly followers of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not just going about our business every day. No, he is expecting us to change and to grow fruit and be loyal to his plan. And I want you to know that, friend. It says here in 1 Corinthians 6:19, the one who joins himself to the Lord is mingled into one spirit, infused like going all through your spirit, soul, and body. This is why you must keep running away from sexual immorality. For every other sin a person commits is external to the body. But immorality involves sinning against your own body. Have you forgotten that your body is now the sacred temple of the Spirit of Holiness who lives in you? Praise God. You don't belong to yourself any longer. For the gift of God, Holy Spirit, lives inside your sanctuary, your heart. It's spirit to spirit. It's capital S spirit to little s spirit. So verse 20 tells us from 1 Corinthians 6, you were God's expensive purchase, bought with a price, paid for with tears of blood. So by all means then, use your body to bring glory to God. Oh, use your body to bring glory to God. I know each and every one of us have different bodies. We do. Our bodies are so different. I mean, every human being has a different body. And many of you may not be pleased with your body, but we do the best that we can. I know right now at this point in my life, I should have done it years before, but I would eat late into the night and then I would, you know, burp all night long or go to the bathroom all night long or not be able to sleep all night long because I had those string fries at 10 o'clock at night, which I loved. I used to love to eat them with a hamburger. Oh my goodness, when I think what I did to my body. And now I really take precaution. Don't drink caffeine after 6 o'clock at night. And that includes chocolate ice cream. Don't do that because I know my body can't handle that, or eating after 6 o'clock at night. Just don't do it. If I'm forced into a situation where I'm with friends or something like that, I drink, take some drink or fruit, any kind of fruit. And I know Kimberly does that often, a fruit cup or anything like that, but nothing solid, nothing that's going to keep her up at night or me up at night. So I want you to know that God's wisdom is going to teach you how to live right. And everybody's different. I may do things a certain way. You're not going to do it the same way I do. That's why it's important that, you know, I'm going to tell you the truth. You need to do this and this and this. We can't tell that to our brothers and sisters. We can't say that to our brothers and sisters. Well, you should be doing. We can't be doing that because it is so different with each individual. It says here, do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? And this is from 1 Corinthians 3. From 3 to 6, you will find God talking to you about your body. If any man destroys the temple of God, that's the body, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy. And that is what you are. You are the temple of God. You are, I know, some of you may think, oh, I can't be the temple of God. You've got to take this by faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So when you quote scriptures like 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, that says, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus is now in you, you say that often from 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. You have the mind of Christ. And it goes on to say, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you thinks that he is wise in this age, let him become foolish, that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness before God. For it is written, he is the one who catches God. God is the one who catches the wise in their craftiness. The Lord knows the reasonings of the wise, that they are useless. Ah, the reasonings of the wise are useless. Don't listen to the world. Listen to God. Read his word often and rejoice that you are part of God's family.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-877-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom Ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at barbaracarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy